Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and I'd like to thank you for giving me a few moments of your day. This show, The Flatline, remember, it's always about motivation and inspiration and indeed education, and it's always done with no manipulation. I know you get tired of hearing me say that, but I'm not apologizing because that's the truth. We're not here to coerce you into doing anything. We're only here to give you accurate information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to act on the information, you have the freedom and the privacy to do so. All you have to do is orient and adjust in your own soul. And that's the wonderful thing about the grace of God. He gives you the freedom and the privacy to act. No one's trying to get you to join up, fess up, give up, or anything. Just listen. Listen up. Because you have a volition. You have a privilege and an opportunity to not only hear God's word, but to apply it into your life. That's a great privilege. And you have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life. That is a great privilege, because he that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. So remember that today. When you're listening to The Flatline, it's about the spiritual mechanics of the Christian life. And if this is your first time to listen, FLOT, F-L-O-T, stands for the forward line of troops. And the way that we're addressing this situation is that you take the word of God, learn it, and deploy it into the forward compartments of your soul so that it acts like a flot line, a forward line of troops. And what this does is by learning these tremendous problem-solving devices called the 10 problem-solving devices, you're able to stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. The only way you're going to be able to do that is by using God's word, using those wonderful problem-solving devices. Now, one of the things that we'd like to talk about today and bring it to your attention is the problem of unfair people and unfair circumstances. You see, we all have situations in our life that we face that are unfair. And when these sort of things happen, we can either do one or two things. We can react to the circumstances, or we can respond to the circumstances. And I want you to think in terms of that today. Reacting or responding to circumstances or people. Unfair circumstances may cause you to say something like, quote, I don't deserve this, end quote. And unfair people, when you come under the authority of people who make decisions that are not in your best interest and maybe even unfair decisions, you may say to yourself, quote, they can't do this to me, or, quote, why are they doing this to me? And this may cause you to question, as, for example, the Jews did in the wilderness and questioned the leadership of Moses and said, why did you bring us out in the desert to die? And that was not it at all. That wasn't what he intended. That wasn't what God intended. But you know the story about the promised land and how they refused to take possession of the promised land the first time they came to the Jordan River. So it's very possible, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you could hit some situation in your life that you consider unfair, either the circumstances or the authority. And the only way that you're only going to be able to handle these sort of things is to use, number one, problem-solving device, which is rebound, and number two, problem-solving device, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you how. If, for example, a police officer gives you a ticket, you're driving down the interstate and you're obeying the speed limit and some joker blows by you going about 90 miles an hour. And then the state trooper comes up and stops you and wants to give you a ticket for going 90 miles an hour. And no matter what you say, you cannot convince him that it was not you, that it was another car that passed you, and you get the ticket. Now, some people would jump up and down like a one-legged shortstop. Some people would call their congressman. Some people would call their senator. Some people would, by George, write the president. Now, how would you handle that? It was a decision made against you that was not fair. And would you react or would you respond? You can respond with forgiveness, and you can react with bitterness. Anytime you hit an unfair circumstance in your life, Responding or reacting is always the question. Let's suppose in these economic hard times that we face in America today, and we have a new administration taking the office of the president. Let's suppose that you are laid off, or you lose your home, or you face some sort of adverse financial circumstances where you lose your savings. Would you react by taking a gun and blowing your brains out? Or would you respond by using the faith rest drill and turning it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven and know that God promised that He would never leave you, He would never forsake you, that He promised to meet your needs? For example, in Matthew 10, He said, "Don't worry, if I know about even a little bird falling to the ground dead, I certainly know about your needs. I even know how many hairs are on your head," our Heavenly Father says in Matthew 10. And so whenever circumstances hit your life, how do you handle it? Do you react or do you respond? And maybe you're saying, like me, sometimes I do good and sometimes I do bad. I do both. Well, yes. And when we react with bitterness and frustration, that is a mental attitude sin, and it could even turn into a sin of the tongue if you begin to call up your friends and complain and whine about it and gripe and criticize the officer that gave you the ticket or criticize the boss that had to lay you off or criticize the bank that lost your funds. You see, you have to learn if you're going to live the Spirit-filled life, first of all, you can't worry about anything. You have to remember that your Heavenly Father said that He was in business 24 hours a day. Vengeance is His. He will repay. And so you never have to worry about adverse circumstances hitting your life. Your Heavenly Father is always in charge. Now, sometimes we have adverse circumstances come into our life from our own bad decisions. And those adverse circumstances could, in fact, be discipline. Maybe, just maybe, it's the discipline of God on you. And now, when God begins to discipline you, you can react or you can respond. You might want to read Proverbs 15:10 that says, "To him that forsaketh the way," that discipline hurts, "but he that hates the discipline of God shall die." One of the quickest ways to be taken out under the sin unto death is for a believer to criticize God's justice and to accuse God of being unfair. And this is precisely what Satan has done from eternity past, claiming that God was not fair to sentence him to the lake of fire. And this is precisely why he's trying to use all of us to get his sentence vindicated so that he does not have to go to the lake of fire. But the justice of God is always perfect. God never makes a mistake, and Satan will wind up in the lake of fire along with all fallen angels and anyone else who does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so remember this, when you hit circumstances in your life, first of all, did you cause it by sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind? And secondly, if you didn't cause it, then what's going on? One could be discipline, one could be blessing. And if it's discipline, when you rebound and use 1 John 1:9, problem-solving device number one, the discipline is turned to blessing. If it's blessing, the adverse circumstances coming against you, then you use a faith rest drill, and you stand behind the promises of God. And you don't sweat it, you don't worry, because you know, for example, if you lose your job, that God is giving you a promotion. He's not demoting you. If you are a believer that's growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and by that I mean, number one, you stay filled with the Spirit, and number two, you take in the Word of God consistently in your life under a qualified pastor, then when adverse circumstances hit your life, it's not a demotion, it is a promotion. Paul had this happen in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he asked the Father on a couple of occasions to remove the thorn from his flesh. And the Heavenly Father said, "No, I'm not going to do that because you're asking me to take away the very thing that's blessing you." Sometimes the suffering is what brings us closer to the Lord. Because when everything's going okay and when the bank account is full and the gas tank is full and everybody feels good, we have a tendency to forget God, don't we? But when things go bad, then who do we go to? And so sometimes those adverse circumstances are designed to test you and bring you actually closer to God. And you can fail the test by reacting to the adverse circumstances and by getting bitter and by seeking revenge. And so let's remember that today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it all is in your mind. That's where we live the spiritual life. We live the spiritual life in our thoughts, and our thoughts always produce what's called an attitude. And that attitude, once it comes forth, always produces what we call an action. And so everything that you do starts with everything that you think. And so I want us to consider in this radio show the doctrine of the mind. The doctrine of the mind. Now, this is not some sort of mental telepathy. This is simply what the Bible says about your mind. And let's get some points on it. Number one, for the believer in Jesus Christ, the spiritual IQ far outweighs human IQ. Spiritual IQ far outweighs human IQ. Now, you may be the smartest joker in town. You might have scored 32 on your ACT test in high school. Maybe you scored perfect on your SAT test. Maybe you were given a scholarship because of your mental capabilities. But if you do not have spiritual IQ, and that means that you know the Word of God, then you are a person who is mentally handicapped. Because spiritual IQ is what the spiritual life runs on. You must understand and apply the Word of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when interrupted by a woman in Luke 11:27-28, actually corrected her because she claimed that blessing was related to motherhood. And yet Jesus said, no, happiness comes from hearing my Father's Word and keeping it. And when you hear the Word of God and keep the Word of God or apply the Word of God, it takes place in the thought life. First of all, you have to think, do I want to hear this? And the answer is yes, so you listen. And then you think, do I want to apply this? And then the answer could be yes also. And that's where your volition comes in. God's given each one of us a volition. And the volition is the chooser, the decider. And it's in your brain. That's where it works. So point number two, spiritual IQ comes from equal privilege and equal opportunity. You see, we all have the privilege to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we all have the opportunity to take God's Word and learn it. You have a Bible. You have a Bible instructor called a pastor. You have a Bible tutor or a mentor or a guide called the Holy Spirit. And so God has seen to it that there is a canon of Scripture, His recorded message available to you, and He's given you His Holy Spirit. Jesus testified of that to guide you into truth. And He has given certain male members of the human race the spiritual gift called pastor-teacher. And their job is to study and teach God's Word to you. And I hear people all the time say, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that. I think I can take my Bible and I can go sit under a tree and I can grow just as much as I can by listening to a pastor. That is not true. If it were, then why would God have given the gift to start with? Why not just give the Bible and tell you and the Holy Spirit to go sit under the persimmon tree and you'll get it all? If God gave a gift called pastor-teacher in Ephesians 4:17, then it was for a reason. And that reason was so that He might teach you God's Word, that you might be under the authority of a shepherd because we are sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Now, if you don't think you're a sheep, then obviously you don't think you need a shepherd. And if you don't think you need a shepherd, then you obviously think that you can take the Bible and sit under the persimmon tree and learn everything you need to learn, and then you're just short-circuiting the plan of God. God raises up male members of the human race who have the gift of pastor-teacher, and the objective in the spiritual life is to sit under that person and grow spiritually on a daily basis. Point three. As goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. As goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. This is clear in Revelation 2:23, where the Lord said, I am he who searches the minds and the heart, and I will give to each one of you according to your production. And that was a message to the church at Thyatira, but it is the true principle that God the Father is able to look into the minds and the hearts of every believer. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about the muscle, the organ. It's talking about what's inside of you. It's your thoughts. So let me give it to you this way. You have a mind and you have a heart. So let's think in terms of left and right. Information comes into the left side of your head called the mind. And here you comprehend the information. And then by faith you transfer it to the right side called the heart where you apply it. And this is where wisdom comes from. So the Bible says the information that comes into the mind, and by the way, the Greek word for the mind is nous, N-O-U-S. And the Greek word for the heart is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. So the Bible says that the information that comes into the nous is called gnosis, or knowledge. But you still, as Jesus said himself, must apply it. And that is called epignosis. We have epi in front of gnosis, and epi is a preposition meaning full. And so we go from knowledge to full knowledge. And full knowledge is you not only hearing the Word of God, but understanding and applying the Word of God. And that's the difference between the mind and the heart. And so when the Bible says, I am he that searches the mind and the heart, that's both of these are in your head upstairs. And then the Bible says, and according to this principle, point three, as goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 26:3. I will keep him in perfect peace or total rest, the one whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He depends on thee, mental dependency. So you have two things here. The way to perfect peace in your life, total rest in your life, is to have mental dependency upon the Lord. Is that possible? Well, Jesus said, take up my yoke and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, you will find rest for your souls. I didn't make that up. So it starts, what does rest for your soul start? It starts in your mind where you're not agitated and angry and worrying and full of fear and full of doubt and full of guilt. If you don't think these things will wear you out and wear you down, this is what stress-related sin is. And that is why when you learn the problem-solving devices, you don't have to have that sort of stuff. You see, what is the source of all of your thoughts? The source of all of your thoughts comes from something called recall. Recall. Listen to Lamentation 3:21. This I recall to mind, and because of this I have hope or confidence. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And this means that if God wasn't merciful, you would be a greasy spot today. Me too. And then it goes on to say, because of his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. This I recall to mind. You cannot operate in the spiritual life without recalling doctrine. This means that you have to have learned it and stored it in your memory center. Because if you go to the memory center and there's nothing there to recall, then you're out in the cold. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, one of the things that Satan seeks to do is to capture the thoughts of your mind. You want to hear what 2 Corinthians 11:3 says? Your minds do not need to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And Satan is a master at trickery. He's a very crafty person. And sometimes in a person's arrogance, because they think they're on to something new, because they think they have some great breakthrough or some great insight, they are tricked into deceiving and deceived into believing that what they've learned in the past is no longer valid, and now they got something better. They got a better deal. So this happens all the time, folks. All the time when people walk away from sound biblical teaching because some fella got a better deal. And they go with that fella, and they wander off down the my way highway. Now, here's the fourth point. Satan will always seek to neutralize your spiritual life, but sometimes you can do it for him. We know that Satan wants to neutralize your spiritual life, but sometimes you do it for him. Now I'm going to give you five clear objectives of Satan. Five clear objectives of Satan. You should write these down, and you should look at them, and you should think about them. Number one, he wants to reclaim your affections. Satan wants to reclaim your affections. This means he doesn't want you to do what 1 John says, we love God because God first loved us. He doesn't want you to love God. So listen to 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, and do not love the things that are in the world. Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Simply put, this is you loving the gifts more than the giver. And this is something that Satan is excellent at doing, reclaiming your affections. Because you begin to think that circumstances can make you happy. And so you think, if I could win the lottery and get about $10 million and pay all my bills off, why, heck, I'd even give $1 million of it to the church. Were you trying to make a bargain with God to let you win the lottery? Is that what you're trying to do? And you think, I could just be happy if I could get that. If you think that winning the lottery is going to make you happy, then you have your affections on the world. Love not the world, and do not love the things that are in the world, whatever the world has to offer you. This is the cosmic vortex. The world is the cosmic vortex. It's always spinning around out there. It's like a cyclone or a tornado, and it'll suck you up in it and take you down the road. If you're chasing the details of life, if you're in a frantic search for happiness, and you're thinking, if I could just find the right man, if I could just find the right woman, if I could just find the right job, if I could just what? How about this? If you could just pay attention to the Word of God long enough to reach spiritual maturity, then you might understand when the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then I will add these things to you. You got the wrong priorities, and you've lost your affections. You're not loving God. You're loving the details of life. The second thing that Satan would like to do is to recapture your thoughts, to get your mind off of Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You must be disciplined when it comes to what you think. You must be disciplined when it comes to what you think. Well, what should you think? It's very clear. It's called divine viewpoint. Or you can think human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is what does the Word of God say? Human viewpoint is what does your friend say? Or what does some brilliant genius in the world of science and literature say? I would assure you, what the Bible says is the truth. Satan would seek to reclaim your affections and to recapture your thoughts, and then he would seek, point three, to redirect your focus. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible clearly says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And as a mature believer in Jesus Christ, you have to learn to focus on the unseen. Because if you focus on the seen, then you're going to ask questions like, why do the bad prosper? Why do the good die young? And you're going to be thinking about, why is God unfair? And you see, you're going to stall out in your spiritual life because you're going to take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Simply put, when the Lord invited Peter to walk on the water and he jumped out there quickly, he walked about two steps and was telling all of the guys, get the cameras, take a look. He could just see himself in the Jerusalem Journal the next day. Front page headlines, Peter walks on water. But as soon as a wave slapped him in the face, he took his eyes off Christ and looked at the storm. And he sunk like a rock, and he prayed that famous prayer, help, help. Well, that's a short prayer. Not only does Satan seek to reclaim your affections and recapture your thoughts and redirect your focus, but he will seek to redefine your values. In Matthew 6:19 through 20, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break nor steal." Treasures. What is that? It's the Greek word thesaurus. You have a word treasure. And the word treasure is the word of God that will make you rich. And the pastor's job is to go into the gold mine of the Bible, dig up the treasure, and give it to you free. Not sell it to you. Not make you buy his tapes or buy his books to listen to it. Give it to you free to make you rich so that you become occupied with Jesus Christ and represent Christ to your generation. So you're not laying up for yourself treasure upon the earth. If you're worried about your bank account, if you're worried about your assets, if you're trying to buy your way into happiness, then you have lost your values. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home, nothing wrong with having a nice bank account. It's not money that's the root of evil. It's the love for money that's the root of evil. And then Satan would seek, lastly, to reorder your priorities. To reorder your priorities. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." First the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these things shall be added to you. And there you have it. The five things that Satan would seek to do to neutralize your spiritual life. Has that happened to you? Have you fallen into one of these categories? Let's go through them again. Has he reclaimed your affections because you now love the world? Has he recaptured your thoughts because you're not concentrating on Christ? Has he redirected your focus because you're looking at the things that are seen and not the things that are unseen? Has he redefined your values? Have you tried to find happiness for laying up for yourself treasure on the earth? And has he been able to reorder your priorities where you have walked away from the Word of God? You've walked away from the Spirit-filled life? You've gotten distracted, detained, and defeated. And you know it. You don't need me to tell you. You don't need a preacher to tell you. You know that your relationship with God is pitiful because a long time ago you turned your back on God. Now listen carefully. He has not turned his back on you. He still loves you. All you need to do is rebound. Go to 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing." And by rebounding, you can resume your spiritual life and make priority number one, staying filled with the Holy Spirit and taking in God's Word consistently until you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.